I'd also like now to take the opportunity to introduce you to a very, very fine woman who's been working really hard to help us in an area where we need the most help when it comes to legalization and support for cannabis. The most recent polls that have come out from Quinnipiac in various swing states and nationwide have shown there is a 10 to 12 point gap in the support for legalization between men and women. So we have got Leah Maurer, who's going to come up here. She's with Moms for Measure 91. She's been fighting hard to bring this across, and she's also with Women Grow, one of the co-founders of the Portland chapter. Please welcome Leah Maurer.
Thank you. It's true. It's my birthday today. And there's nowhere else I would rather be. So thank you. Thank you, Hemp Convention, for having me here. Thank you, Amy Paradotta, for the excellent programming put together. I feel so fortunate to be up here in front of you guys because the last Hemp Convention, as you may remember, was in April. And that was right before we launched the Portland chapter for Women Grow. And I came up here to meet Courtney Moran and see her speak. And then I kind of just walked around to all the booths here. And in any booth that I saw a woman, I went up to her and I said, "Hi, I'm going to launch this thing called Women Grow in Portland. Would you like to be a part of it?" And I went home that day with a stack of business cards about this thick from people saying, "Yes, I want to be involved with this." And the rest is kind of history from there. So like Russ said, my name's Leah Maurer. I'm the co-chair for the Women Grow chapter here in Portland. I founded a group called Moms for Yes on Measure 91 during the Measure 91 campaign, and I'm a mother of three young boys. I'll talk a little bit about Women Grow quickly because that's what I spend a lot of my time doing right now. Women Grow is a national organization. There are over 30 cities that have chapters in them across the United States and in Canada. And we here in Portland have the largest and fastest growing chapter that there is in the entire country. Yeah, Portland, yeah. So essentially what Women Grow is a industry association for women who are involved in the cannabis industry. And one of our biggest goals is to have women who are not in the cannabis industry but have a particular entrepreneurial skill set or a particular entrepreneurial idea or something like that to pull them into the industry and support them on their journey or help them gain clientele in the industry. We have networking events here in Portland every first Thursday of every month. We have a booth right over here. If it's something you want to hear more about, please stop by the booth. I also co-own theweedblog.com, number one site for marijuana news and information. So if you're not familiar with that, I would encourage you to check into that too. Before I talk too much about where I'm at right now in industry, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. I graduated from the University of Missouri Columbia with my degree in education, and I taught public school in the elementary schools there for several years before having my first child and becoming a stay-at-home mother. On March 9th of 2009, when my first two children were about 1 and 3 years old, my husband and I suffered a really awful paramilitary-style SWAT raid in our home for growing medical cannabis in our basement. It was horrible. It was extremely traumatic. I still suffer from it today. And my civil liberties were violated in a way that day that I didn't really conceive imaginable until that point. Because of the way that our story was sensationalized by the media and what was happening in other areas of our lives, we knew that we needed a fresh start, and so we packed up everything we had and moved away from everything that we had worked so hard for and the network we had built and jumped ship and moved 2,000 miles away out here to Portland, which has definitely been our silver lining, I can say now with confidence. But after we were living here for a little while, we sort of got on our feet to the point where we were living somewhat comfortably again. And we decided that instead of doing something for the living situation we were in or our family, that we really needed to take the money that we had and put it into the movement. So we founded a group called Show Me Cannabis, which is the leading legalization organization in Missouri. And just this week, they filed to run a medical campaign. We will be running a medical marijuana campaign in Missouri for 2016. So that's really exciting. So we're almost full circle there. And then after that, in April of 2013, we helped found New Approach Oregon. As we were sitting at the big round table of people downtown at this big law firm, Earl Blumenauer was at the table, Ethan Nadelman from Drug Policy Alliance was at the table, Graham Boyd was at the table, and we had this huge round table of people pulled together to try to get them to realize that they needed to run a campaign here in Oregon in 2014 and not wait until 2016. So I was the first person to stand up at that meeting and tell these people my story and tell them why it was so important that we worked for this change here in Oregon now. So as you all know, New Approach Oregon, you know, Measure 91 is what was born out of New Approach Oregon. And as you all know, Measure 91 passed in November with resounding success. And it was so exciting to do that. During the course of the campaign, as I was volunteering, I found myself in kind of a unique space that I hadn't been in. When we had the raid in Missouri, I had a lot of my mom friends especially turn their backs on me. I lost all my friends that were in my playgroup. My kids lost a lot of their friends. It was really awful. But coming out of it, that sort of built a strength in me that I didn't have before that. And when it came to helping with the campaign here, I knew that that was a strength that I could produce that I felt like would be helpful for what was going on here. So I went to the campaign director, Liz Kaufman, and I said, Liz, I want to start a group called Moms for Yes on Measure 91, and I want to help the campaign with it. And she was kind of like, okay, I think that's a good idea, but let me think about it a little bit, and I'll get back to you. So the campaign's going on, and it goes into the summer, and she kind of pinged me in like July or August and said, I want to talk to you more about this mom's idea you have. So we had coffee, and I got my point across to her, and she said, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll have the campaign help you with a logo. You start the group on Facebook and make it a group. And if you can get to 100 members, then get back to me and I will, you know, we'll try to use you as a little bit more of a vehicle for the campaign. So I founded the group in the beginning of September of 2014. And within about 2 weeks, I had 100 people in that group just from grassroots efforts, pulling women that I knew into it that were mothers, and them tapping into their own networks. So when I came to her and told her that, she was like, okay. So the campaign started, you know, helping us a little bit and using it more for the campaign. Then on October 16th, I got kind of a panicked phone call from the communications director, Peter Zuckerman, that was the communications director for the Measure 91 campaign. And he said, I just found out that the No on 91 campaign is doing their last ditch big press conference tomorrow effort in opposition to the campaign, and it's all moms. And so I need your help. Let's talk about this. So in less than 24 hours, we threw together a press conference. And the next morning on October 17th, I found myself standing with a group of women with their children behind this little makeshift space they had set up for this press conference in the conference headquarters with 6 television cameras pointed at me and 4 other reporters standing right there. And myself and now one of my very, very favorite people, Representative Ann Leininger, both spoke at the conference. And we completely stole the show from the opposition. We completely came out on top in the media. And it was such a rewarding experience to be a part of. And I feel like I can say with confidence now, because I've been told by all of the leadership of the campaign and several politicians since then, that the Moms for Yes on Measure 91 group did play a very pivotal role in the Measure 91 campaign. So then it seemed like after Measure 91 passed, I found out about this group called Women Grow. And after being a part of that big group of women, all kind of working towards the same goal and seeing it come to fruition and it being so rewarding and changing history and, you know, making things happen, I thought this would be a nice next step for me. So in March, I sent an email to the national office to apply to be the chair for this chapter. And the national office didn't even contact me. They immediately forwarded my application to the woman who had become the chapter chair here just 4 days prior to my applying for it. Her name's Sarah Batterby. She is now one of my very best friends and a partner of mine in this movement and industry. And we launched the Portland Chapter for Women Grow on May 7th. We had the largest launch event that Women Grow had ever seen. We doubled our numbers in less than 2 months' time, so much so that we brought on a vice chair. Ashley Priest-Seckett, the co-founder of Cascadia Labs, is our co-chair for the chapter, or our vice chair for the chapter. So we have 3 leadership now, and we are still the largest chapter and the fastest growing chapter, and have had more media than any of the other chapters of the over 30 in the rest of the country. So, and I think we all know that's because we're in Oregon, right? Like, that's part of it too, right? So this kind of brings me to where I am now. I'm in a space that I never thought I would really find myself in. I certainly thought I would go back to work once my children got to be a certain age, but I never thought I would be here, standing in front of you at this convention as an activist and as someone who represents a unique sector of the Oregon cannabis industry. As women, and especially as mothers, I have realized that we have the strength to do something for this industry and this movement that not everyone else can. We can normalize cannabis and break down stereotypes in a way that could be hugely, hugely influential for this movement to tip on a national level. I feel like right now is the time for women to come out of their cannabis closets if they haven't done so already and show the world what amazing leaders we can be in the movement. We're mothers, we're professionals, and we're responsible cannabis consumers. We have the buying power to influence the products and the market, and the leadership skills and entrepreneurial skills and ideas to pave the way in this emerging, legalized, and regulated industry. I've been a part of a couple events lately. One was through Willamette Week just two nights ago. It was a bus tour of a few female-run dispensaries in Portland. And the women on that tour range in age from their early 20s to almost 70 years old. And these were women that were super curious and wanted to be educated consumers. They were just as excited about helping this movement and helping this industry flow out in a positive way in Oregon as people like myself. On September 30th, right before our big October 1st holiday here, I was at Prism House PDX and I co-hosted a party that was all about normalizing cannabis. And we'll be having a series of those events, but what we really want to do is get the word out to the mainstream conservative America that you can advocate for marijuana reform and be a cannabis consumer and still be a responsible citizen and parent. Yes. And it's going to take time. And I think most people here know that, you know, we've been fed conjecture and propaganda by the federal government for decades. We're aware of that, but not everyone else is. And so breaking down the stereotypes and really normalizing this substance, just like we have with coffee or beer, is so important for making this movement tip further and further. I feel like it's my mission as a woman and as a mother with the path that my life has taken to really try and spread the word as far and wide as I can that cannabis should be legalized and normalized. Doing the work I do with Women Grow is a huge, huge piece of that, trying to normalize cannabis and really push this movement forward. I believe that we all as Oregonians want to see this law, our industry, and our consumers become a model for this movement, just as we've been models for other things like transportation, the environment, and water for years now. I feel like this is our time to stand together in solidarity as activists and industry professionals and citizens and move forward together and show the rest of the country how it's done. I believe that the potential is huge and that we have all the pieces right here in front of us. We just need to do it. I would again encourage you guys to check out the Women Grow booth right over here if you're interested in more information. We have some awesome, awesome volunteers. We have a great list of sponsors. And check out theweedblog.com, number one marijuana news website. And thank you again for letting me be here. I'm going to go ahead and introduce the next panel. The panel is Cannabis Legislative Roundup 2015, covering hemp, medical, and recreational cannabis. We have Courtney Moran, Lee Berger, Representative Val Hoyle, Paul Loney, Pioneer Pete, and Doug Fine will be moderating. Thank you again.